on August 27th, Joseph Griffin was jogging in his mostly white neighborhood of Deltona, Florida. Sheriff's deputies were also there, looking for someone who'd stolen a leaf blower. Griffin sort of fit the suspect's description, a black man wearing a tank top, dark shorts. So a Volusia County deputy stopped him.
You're not in any trouble or anything? There is a burglary that happened. You kind of fit the description. Let me just make sure that you're not him, okay?
That sound is from the deputy's body camera, but what happened next does not follow the narrative that we've grown accustomed to. Griffin was released and cleared, and now the department has asked him to help train officers to prevent bias. Joseph Griffin joins us now on Skype. Joseph, welcome. It's good to speak with you.
Thanks for having me.
And can you take us back to that day? Here you are just jogging, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in handcuffs. What were you thinking at that point?
So at that point, definitely a lot of confusion going on. I actually, when the officer pulled up, I thought he was like saying like, hey, good job for running. I think I waved at him and kept going. So it was definitely confusing. He got out of the car and was like, hey, you know, he explained to me the situation. And at that point, I just wanted to remain compliant as I could so I could be able to go home to my newborn daughter.
You're an Army veteran. You work as a nurse manager in an ICU. I'm sure you've been paying close attention to the things that have been happening in this country in terms of the fight for racial justice. You've seen a lot. Did you feel at that point like you were in danger?
It was definitely a scary moment with everything going on in the media, as you just said. So that's why I went on Facebook Live. It helped me feel a lot more comfortable if my family and friends were watching.
At the time, did you feel like the officers had done anything wrong, that they'd actually profiled you and shouldn't have detained you at all?
They didn't do anything that was illegal necessarily, but just some things that I wouldn't agree with, especially the cuffing. I wasn't going to run away. I feel like they could have just talked to me. And with the nature of the crime being just a stolen leaf blower, I didn't think it was that serious for the 9 cop cars and the cuffing.
It's interesting. At one point, you tell the officer that you're streaming this interaction live. He responds by actually helping you keep the phone running and even holds it for you at a certain point. And you told a local TV station in Orlando that, in your opinion, if a person remains calm with police, that the situation will go their way about 85% of the time. I want to ask you about that. A lot of people do stay calm in these types of interactions, and they still get shot. They still get hurt by the police. You know, what about that? Is it really your responsibility to stay calm more than the officers?
No, it's definitely both parties play a big role. And in this situation, the officer did do a lot of things that were very helpful, such as streaming the live. And he constantly assured me that he wasn't going to let anything happen to me. As far as civilians being compliant, it does play a pretty decent sized role. And yes, we've seen multiple videos where, you know, the wrong thing happened even when people were compliant. And that is when the officers do have to answer for what they do. But overall, when you do remain compliant, I feel that if I wasn't compliant, that situation could have gone much more differently.
So you're released, as we say. Your video that you were streaming gets a lot of attention online. At some point, the police are actually calling you to thank you for what you did. And then they offer you a job and ask you to do anti-bias training with officers. Tell me about what your plan is for that. How are you going to approach doing that?
So I won't be taking the job as an officer, but I will be attending the racial bias training. I'll be partnering up with someone else who actually does the training. I think that this is very beneficial for America because we have a video of something kind of, yeah, it's a frustrating situation, but it kind of turned out in a positive way. And so if this could help the relationship between the community and officers, even if it's only a few, you know, anything that could help is definitely much needed in this society today.
And what will you say when you're in front of those police officers and doing this training with them? What's your message to them?
So my overall message is empathy and sympathizing for the person that you do have in cuffs. When you have that authority, sometimes it can get to your head and you kind of come off as having an attitude. But when you have some sympathy, you put yourself in the other person's shoes and honestly treat them as if they're innocent until proven guilty and not the other way around. It kind of goes a long way.
I hate to be skeptical, but I do want to ask you, do you think it'll make a difference and actually change any of the police policies that are at the root of this problem in America?
No, I won't say it'll make anything perfect, but I've already seen some changes. I've been reached out to by officers in other departments in other counties, actually. I was even told by Sheriff Chitwood that, you know, initially he didn't even like the idea of the live video, but now that he sees that it kind of makes the other person on the other side feel comfortable, he was all for it. So, I mean, that's a big change in a sense. How often do officers actually hold the live video and start recording for you?
That's Joseph Griffin, who was detained while jogging in Volusia County, Florida, and is now working with the Sheriff's Department there on anti-bias training. Joseph, thanks very much for joining us, sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.